of a good encouragement for all of us. And I'll catch up with you in a minute. I'm pulling a couple other references out here that I can use, including the one that John was quoting from 1 Corinthians 13. But we'll get to 2 Peter as our text verse. And in 2 Peter, after he writes his second epistle, he closes his final letter in the third chapter with the last verse, number 18, 2 Peter 3:18. And he tells all the people who've been reading his writings and all the people he's been listening to, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And so he gives a recommendation here. And boy, he's written two very good epistles. And if you were to go back and read the total of 8 chapters in those two books, there's a lot of good instruction in them. But even when all that instruction is done, he still exhorts and encourages and charges all of God's people to continue to grow in grace and in knowledge. God has a lot of grace.
Amen.
And there's a lot that can be known about our Savior and God. And what he's encouraging you is, and Peter's an old man here, and he's encouraging other elders and old men, is you can continue to grow in grace and knowledge all the way through your mortal life. It's kind of a, maybe it's discouraging, but it's encouraging. The encouragement is you can still got a ways to go. The discouragement is you never can say, I've arrived. You can always grow. And this is, I think, good. And we're going to find in the millennium, we're going to learn more about our Savior and more about His grace and more about His work. John said if all the books in the world were written about Jesus, the world couldn't contain him. There's much to learn. And we have to grow. Now, the way you're going to grow is you're going to have to purpose in your heart to grow. In other words, growth is not going to come automatically. Daniel, when he was a young man, purposed in his heart in Daniel chapter 1. So I want to take a look at the verses on growing and show what are some of the hindrances that might prevent someone from growing. And again, the first one is a wrong assumption, an error in assumption, thinking I will grow automatically now that I'm saved. Now that I've learned the truth that Jesus is the only way to God, He is the only mediator. He said I must be born again. I have bowed my knee. I have received the new birth. I think I'll grow automatically. Well, that's an assumption error because you won't grow automatically. Children, you know, when they're young, they grow automatically. A year passes, they're a little bit bigger. They're a little bit taller, a little stronger. They can perform things a year later that they couldn't do the year before. But we will be deceived if we think that we're going to grow in grace and knowledge by simply existing. The reality is you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Savior on purpose. It has to be intentional. It has to be an act of your will. Let's put children aside. Let's look at adults. Adults, people, they don't improve automatically or by accident. They have to, you'll talk to adults who have been stuck in a rut for a long time, and then let's say they find a system or they find a friend or they find a coach and things get better, and then they'll say, boy, I've grown in these last 3 years since I put my mind to it and made a difference. You've got to, if you want to, your situation, whatever the blank your situation is to improve, the first thing you've got to do is improve yourself. Growth doesn't automatically happen. You know what does? Bad growth happens automatically. If you've been a gardener and you want to tend to a garden, it doesn't take any work on your part for the weeds to come. It doesn't take any work on your part for the locusts to come. It takes work on your part to make that garden grow, to get rid of the bad things. It's going to take some effort. Good growth doesn't happen automatically. Don't make the assumption error. Paul told Timothy, we were studying Timothy, go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Timothy was a young Christian. And when Timothy read Peter's epistle, he saw that admonition to continue to grow in grace. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, if you want to improve, you must improve yourself. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Here's how you do it. Take heed unto thyself. That phrase is found 8 times in the Bible. By the way, 8's the number of the new birth. People who are born again should be taking heed to themselves. Taking heed, that's taking inventory. That's thinking. That's reasoning. That's considering, where am I? How have I progressed? You should be able to look after a couple of years and say, I've made some progress in my relationship with the Lord. I've made some growth. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I mean, now you're not saving yourself in terms of eternal salvation. You're saving your testimony. You're saving that good, precious testimony that when you talk to someone, they'll go, that's a real Christian. He really knows something about his Lord. How does he do that? Because he's grown in knowledge. And he behaves well. He's grown in grace. You have to purpose. The purpose should be, if you want to take heed to yourself, I purpose, my goal is to improve myself as a Christian and grow as a Christian. So the first, don't make the assumption error. The second error that's made that will hinder someone from growing in grace and knowledge is the knowledge gap. Well, I don't know how to grow. I'm not sure how to go about and doing this. Maybe when you were growing up and you were young, maybe relatives, older siblings tend to do this a lot. Sometimes some parents who aren't thinking so much, or aunts and uncles who don't think so much, or maybe certain teachers have picked on you and chided you for, you're kind of slow. You're kind of dim-witted. You're not all that bright. And so I don't know how to grow. Well, we're still in the back of the Bible. Go a couple books to the right and look at James chapter 1. If you don't know how to grow, but you've purposed, I want to learn to grow, here's what James recommends you do. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all unto all men liberally. That means he's abundantly will hand it out to you, like a liberal gives out welfare checks. Okay. God will give this information to you, and upbraideth not. He won't say, if you ask the question, that was a dumb question you asked me. God will never say that to you. That's why I encourage question and answers. And some people say, well, I didn't want to ask, it seemed like a dumb. It's never a dumb question. Matter of fact, I remember when Jesus was teaching his disciples in the upper room, and he said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And then Thomas said, well, we don't know where you're going. We don't know. And I'm glad he asked that basic question. And then we don't know how to go there. And then Jesus answered in the 6th verse, well, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. That wasn't a dumb question, Thomas. I'm glad you asked it. For all the readers down the centuries, they may have been thinking the same thing, and I want to make a plain statement for you. When you don't know something, ask God. Get on your knees and ask God. Don't let the knowledge gap prevent you from growing. Yeah, you don't know everything. So you got to grow in knowledge by asking God. He is the source of truth and eternal knowledge. Go to him as a newborn babe. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. One of the first places you're going to find the knowledge of God is in the book. You've got to read that book. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear. You want to hear from the scriptures. That's what we're doing today. We're hearing from the scriptures collectively. Blessed is he that readeth. You want to read individually. This is how that knowledge gap is going to be fixed. The truth is, learning brings growth, which brings opportunities for more growth. When you wanted to, we're talking to a gentleman came to my house the other day. He was a carpenter, and we're getting ready to do some things at my house. And he said, I remember when I was in high school, I learned how to do quadratic equations. Well, in order to get to that point, to do a quadratic equation, first you got to learn basic math. You got to learn how to multiply, divide. Then you got to learn some basic algebra. And this learning brings the growth and the opportunity for the greater growth to do a quadratic equation as a mathematical example. You've got to purpose. You've got to purpose, number one, my goal is to improve, and number two, my purpose is I'm going to learn. I want to learn. And many of us in school had no interest in learning. I'm guilty. I was not a great student in middle school or high school. I finished in the bottom half of my class because I had no interest in what they were teaching. I skipped out a lot. My senior year, I think I had 104 days where I was absent or late. I mean, I wasn't interested. I was playing piano in bars. I had no interest. But to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Savior and Lord, that's something you should have an interest in, and you should want to learn. And so, purpose, I'm going to learn. Purpose, my goal is to improve. I'm not going to let the assumption error stand in my own, and I'm not going to let the knowledge gap stand in my way. I'm going to ask God for wisdom and knowledge, and I'm going to grow. The third error that people make that might prevent them from growing is the timing error. Well, maybe now's not the right time to begin, because right now I'm very busy taking care of the family, or I'm very busy with a new project at work, or I'm very busy with a hobby that's taking up time. I mean, I did sign up to be the coach of the soccer kids, and I got to do all that, and this timing error, and what you're doing is you're procrastinating. You're putting off something that's very important. To procrastinate is the practice of carrying out a less urgent task in preference to a more important and a more urgent one. The procrastinators tend to do pleasurable things instead of necessary things. And you don't want to make that timing error. You don't want to put off important tasks to a later time. You don't want to wait until the last minute before the deadline. There was a riddle I heard. Five frogs... are sitting on a log. Four decided to jump off. How many are left? Five. Why? There's a difference between deciding and doing. A lot of people make decisions but never follow through. They procrastinate and they let less important things get in the way and take up their time. That's very easy in America with all the pleasures that we have and the opportunities to waste hours. And so this is a very, very important. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, God speaking says, for he, that's God saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. That's the Lord coming forward to you and running to meet you on the day of salvation. And then God goes on to say, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The truth of the matter is, we've probably been guilty of it, and most people are, sometimes we don't act or move as quickly as we should on important matters. I'll give you an important matter just for young men that are married. Brian, think about this. If you're in a family where your family's depending on your income, you should have term life insurance in case something happens to you. And it's not that hard to get term life insurance. It's not a lot. Nowadays, the costs are very low, and it's a good way of providing for your family. And a lot of men know they should do this. I remember sitting with a man in my home about 10 years ago, and we were discussing our family situations, and he was showing me that he is the sole breadwinner in his family. And I said, brother, I said, you know what you'll want to do? You might want to get a term policy. Just a small one. Think about how much would be good to keep your family going if something were to happen to you. He said, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to look into that. He died a short time after that. And when I talked to his wife, he never purchased that term policy. And she was left with nothing. her and the kids, and they had a handicapped child. And it's been very difficult for them to get through after that point. Why? Procrastination. It's not like the frogs. If you're going to decide to jump, jump. When you're going to decide to do something, do something. In the sacred realm, it's very important regarding witnessing, regarding church attendance and participation, regarding sanctification. God says, behold, now's the accepted time. Today is God's day. Tomorrow is the devil's. The devil will always tell you to put it off to tomorrow. God says, now's a good time to do it. Why put off to tomorrow a good thing that can be done today? You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow. Now is the time to do it. Satan, the devil doesn't care how spiritual your intentions are. The devil doesn't even care about how many vows and resolutions you've made and how holy they are. He only cares that you're determined to do them tomorrow. Many people do that with salvation. Well, that's a good message. I'll think about that. I'll do that when I'm on my hospital bed. You may be hit by an automobile before you make it to a hospital bed. And there's no time to do it. The devil's biggest lie is, not now. You've got plenty of time. Not when it comes to important things. Not when it comes to growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord. There's nothing better that you can do. God has promised to forgive you if you repent. But He's not promised you tomorrow if you procrastinate. Now's the day of salvation. In the sacred realm, don't make the timing error of putting it off. The one thing we all have that's common, no matter how big, no matter how small, no, how smart, how dumb, how rich, how poor, the one thing we have in common, the gift that God gives to all of us, is today. So Moses said, number your days with wisdom. I mean, I don't know if you've been to many churches where they do altar calls, but many times there'll be a message about any topic, whether it be the topic of church attendance or Bible reading or prayer or, let's say, a tithing, and there will be an altar call and people come to the altar. And yet a year later, they've never really exercised what they did at the altar call. And you see these repeated altar calls. I'll have evangelists and pastors tell me, I see the same people come forward time after time for the same thing. Why is that? Well, that truth of procrastination explains what's going on with these repeated altar calls. They make a decision like the frog. They never do it. Don't let the timing error come. And of course, we know how important this is in the regular world. If you want to go to a good school, you've got to begin to do the work and make the applications. If you put off the application process, you missed another semester. You missed another year. You've got to do that. Procrastination is like the assassination of motivation. It'll kill your motivation. You can't let that happen. Procrastination, somebody wrote, is the grave in which opportunity is buried. Don't make that mistake. There's another truth regarding the timing error. There's a law of diminishing intent. The longer you wait to do something, the greater are the odds you'll never actually do it. When the motivation is there, now's the time to begin acting. Behold, now is the accepted time. If God has stirred in your heart regarding something, and you've making the decision in your heart, then put hands and feet and mind and body to the decision of the heart. No unwelcome task, okay, whether it be study, whether it be going to church regularly and missing maybe a Wednesday night sitting at home, whether it be tithing and not having the money to spend for yourself, no unwelcome task, a task that requires effort, becomes less unwelcome by putting it off till tomorrow. Most tasks will be more difficult a day later. If I've got an exam coming in Friday, and it's Monday, I can wait another day. Oh, it's Tuesday, I can wait another day. It's not going to be easier when Thursday night comes. It's actually easier the sooner I begin to engage myself and work. How soon, not now, turns into never. And that's the problem. So rather than letting this timing error come, you want a purpose? Purpose, I'm going to start today. You want to read your Bible? You want to get on a Bible reading plan? Start today, not tomorrow. You want to go on a diet? I'm not saying you should. It's good to start today. The point is the timing error. Now is the accepted time to begin. The fourth error that would prevent someone from growing is the mistakes error. The fear of, I might make a mistake. Okay. If I do try and learn Bible, what if I learn it wrong? If I do try and witness, what if I witness wrong? If I do try and pray, what if I pray wrong? Why don't I wait till I'm more prepared to do this thing? The mistake error of, I'm afraid of making mistakes. Growing requires making of mistakes along the way. There will be times when you're trying to witness to someone and you don't have the answers because you don't know the Bible well enough. But that's okay. Job said, I was a father to the poor. This poor person didn't know truth, and I was the father bringing spiritual truth to him. And the cause, which I knew not, I searched out. When he asked me a question, I couldn't answer. I said, I don't know. I just got one of those questions this morning. Someone came to me after Sunday school, asked me a question. I don't know the answer. You know what? I'm going to search it out. So I don't have the immediate answer. Only God has all the immediate answers. But I'm not going to let the fear of making a mistake and not knowing everything stop me from doing it. Growing is a humbling experience. You will be tried. You will be tested. Sometimes you will fall. Sometimes you will fail. Growing is a messy business. You'll look foolish occasionally. I remember the first couple times I went door knocking to tell people about Jesus Christ, and I ran into encounters where I didn't know what to do. I couldn't find the things in the Bible, and I looked a little bit foolish. What did I do? I had to go back home and say, now they brought up this point. Where am I going to find it? And I was armed better for the next time. Any endeavor you're involved in is going to find, you're going to find trouble. You're going to, when a child learns to walk, he falls, but he gets up. He starts again. He walks a little further. When you're learning to ride a bike, you fall off it, but you get up and you do it again. Don't let the mistakes frighten you. What would you attempt to do if you knew you'd never fail? Okay, I want to learn to shoot a basket. But I already know I can shoot three-pointers. I don't need to attempt to do it. I can already do it. Anything that's worth learning to do is going to require some trial and error and some growth. No matter what you're doing, you're going to make mistakes. Suppose you're starting a family. You're not going to be the perfect father and the perfect mother. You're going to make mistakes along the way. You're trying to witness and win souls. You're going to make mistakes along the way. You're going to be a missionary and go to a foreign land. You're not going to know the people. You're going to make mistakes along the way. Don't let the mistake error paralyze you into not going forward. You want to start building a church. How many mistakes are going to be made along the way? How many have I made? Well, we know, just talk to some of the people that have left. I mean, mistakes are made along the way. Purpose, I'm going to grow, and I expect to make some mistakes along the way. If you wanted to be an engineer, and you decide to go to engineering school, you're not going to get straight A's. You're going to have some classes where you get some 70s, some 80s, and you're going to learn from your mistakes. I'm going to welcome mistakes as a sign that I'm moving forward. If I'm not making mistakes, I'm probably just standing still. Don't let the mistake error prevent you. Purpose. Make that purpose. I'm purposed to grow, and I understand mistakes are part of the process, but that's not going to stop me. The other one that'll get in your way is the perfection error. I want to do it perfectly. Or I want to find the best way. In other words, this is the opposite end of the spectrum from the mistakes error. Before I do anything, I have to know that it's completely perfect and find the best way before they start in their growth. There's a guy who works in the business world, although he's a Christian. He's a Christian, so he's read Bible. And his name is John Maxwell, and he encourages people how to go out and build businesses. And he said this man, Kurt, came to me one day, and he presented me with an idea for a growth plan for business. And so I went out looking for the best way. But what I learned over time is that I had it backwards. What I really needed to do is just get started and keep moving. And as I'm moving along, I will find the best way along the path. And God's put us on a path, and we need to get going on it. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful on his bed. If you're driving on an unfamiliar road at night and you don't know the area, ideally, you might like to see the entire region and know the best way before you begin. But if it's an unfamiliar area, what you got to do is just get going and make progress as you move forward. And as you move forward a little more and a little more and more of the road is revealed. The Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible doesn't show you the end from the beginning. It shows you one step at a time. And that's the way God does it. So a lamp only guides your feet one step at a time. So understand, I'm going to move forward. That's my purpose. I'm going to learn the best way as I'm moving. I'm not going to sit and be an armchair thinker and try and find the best way and do nothing. I need to move forward. I need to purpose to go forward. Another mistake that people fall into is the trap of emotions. It's the emotion error. I don't feel like it today. Now here's something God wants you to know. When he made you, and he made various parts of you, just like he gave you a head and he gave you feet, he ordered your insides like your organs. And there are vital organs and there are non-vital organs. And the shallowest part of your being, from God's standpoint, is your emotions, your feelings. The greatest part is your spirit and your spiritual mind. And God presents the truth by His Holy Spirit to renew your mind and get you to do right. And the mind is the part that works. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus is telling a parable here about a man sowing good seed. And, of course, the good seed is the Word of God. But in the sowing of the good seed, he says in verses 5 and 6, some of the good seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith, the little seeds, they sprung upwards because they had no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. I mean, it's trying to grow downward, but a stone is preventing it. But it's able to grow upward for just a little short while, and then because there's no root, when the heat comes, there's no way for water, and it dries away. So he'll explain it to you. Go to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the word of the parable. Verse 20, he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon, that would be like immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth or endureth for a while, like a short while. For because when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended and then he falls away. That's the picture of the stony one. What's he showing to you? He's showing to you that there are people that, based on emotions, they get all excited about some new thing. But it's superficial. And there's no real depth to what's happening. And when any trial comes, then they quit. I'll give you an example. Learning to play an instrument. Everybody'd like to play. I don't know many adults that say to me, I'm so glad I can't play an instrument. Boy, I'm just so thankful. I can't play violin. I can't play piano. I can't play saxophone. I can't play anything. And that's the best thing that happened to me in my life. The majority of adults will say something, boy, I wish I could play. They'll look at an average piano player like me. I wish I could play like you. It's no great task. Here's how it had occurred. Sure, the first time you see the piano, I'm excited, I want to learn to play the piano. Then all of a sudden you realize, I got to do what? I got to practice scales? I got to learn how to move my fingers a certain way? My fingers fall this way. No, you got to practice to get them this way. I got to understand what? Chords? I need to know music theory? A trial, tribulation, I'm done with this. I'm out of here. And that's how emotions are. I was emotionally excited, but once I realized the work involved, I have no will to purpose through the hard labor. Emotions won't carry you. It's the will and the mind and the purpose. I'm going to learn. And let me tell you, I would come home from school. I'm not a good piano player. I would come home from school and my friends would go out and play football and baseball and basketball, and I'd sit at the piano and practice for a half hour and an hour the same scales over and over, the same Hannon exercises over and over, looking at the same chords over and over, trying. It was a slow, long, laborious process, but I had purposed, I'm going to learn that instrument. I don't catch you. I'm thankful that I did it. It's been a blessing over the years. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If it's only emotional, it won't last. There's got to be a purpose in the heart and in the will and in the mind. That's the greatest part of you where God wants to reach into your will and into your mind and into your heart, not into your silly emotions that enjoy watching a sitcom and enjoy getting some Kleenex and watching a movie that makes you cry where nothing's put in. God wants to reach into you and get you to, you're a human being, to be something and to do something. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You've got to purpose. Let me catch up to you. Paul, writing to this particular church, says to them, verse 8, I made you sorry with a letter. And he says, and though I did this, I do not repent. Though I did repent, I turned back to the Lord and said, Lord, it hurt me to have to write the letter to them, but I know it was necessary. But here's what I realize. I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. When you purpose to do something right, it's going to hurt for a little bit. It's going to be labor. It's going to be hard. You can sometimes say, I'm sorry I engaged in this task. This is taking time. This is taking effort. But it's going to work. Verse 9, I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. Every time you wanted to quit, you turned back to the task and said, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to turn back to what I purposed to do. For you were made sorry after a godly manner. A godly manner keeps turning you back to repentance. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance. And you turn back, and you turn back to that great salvation where you're growing in grace and knowledge, and you're not to be repented of. You'll never be sorry for that work when you keep turning back to the Lord. So that's very important. The sorrow of the world, notice the end of it, worketh death. The sorrow of the world works in your emotions, but God's sorrow works in your mind and in your will. So this is what you want to do. You want a purpose to grow. It doesn't matter if I feel like doing it or not. I know it's the right thing. Therefore, I'm going to do it. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. It's important. I don't feel like going to church tonight. You know who's going to be in church tonight? God. Jesus is there every time the doors are opened. You'll miss opportunity to hear from Him. I can hear it on a tape. It's not the same, I will tell you. My wife is amazed at how many times I go to church services that aren't ours. I go to Bible studies that aren't ours. People find me all over the place sitting and listening. You know who's there? Jesus is there. And His Spirit ministers. Blessed is they that read and hear and shows up to the corporate worship, which is what we're preparing for in heaven. You want to purpose to grow. Very, very important. That was another error that's made. We've looked at a lot of errors along the way. Just to review them, and I want to make sure, because I got my notes here, so I want to go over them with you. To review, the hindrances, the assumption error, I'll grow automatically. It's not going to happen. The knowledge gap, I don't know how to grow. Well, ask God. He'll show you how to grow. That was the second one. The third one is the timing error. Well, this is not the right time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day God gave you. Don't procrastinate. The fourth error that we looked at there, I'll find it. I got to find all my notes. Forgive me for having a small mind. I can't memorize all these things. The mistake error. I'm afraid of making mistakes. And the fifth one is the perfection error. I've got to do it perfectly. Look, you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to do it perfectly. Just go forward. That's how growth occurs. And then we saw the emotions error. I don't feel like it. The other error that you're going to make sometimes that will prevent someone from growing is the comparison error. Well, he's better than I am. She's better than I am. And you get intimidated. Now, that's the truth. In any field, God, even in the secular world, there are going to be leaders that are better than you. For example, there are a lot of young kids that get into Little League baseball, Little League football, Little League basketball, Little League hockey. There's no doubt the pros are better than they are. But it doesn't prevent them from getting in it. They don't let the pros stumble them from going forward. Why would you let leaders in your field, particularly that of worshiping God and serving God, intimidate you from moving forward? You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. And look at verse 12. Don't let the comparison error stop you. 2 Corinthians 12, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It's not wise to compare upwardly, downwardly, sideways, backwards, forwards. We're pursuing, it didn't say grow in the grace and knowledge of the people around you. It said grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. You're pursuing the Lord. You're looking up to Him. You're not looking around. Don't compare with others. Paul said, let no man glory in men. He was back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, for all things are yours. He said, whether it be Paul or Apollos, or Cephas. He's saying, look, there are some men God's given a great gift to. These are the gifts God's given some men. But the gift is for you. It's not for them. The gifts are given to profit with all, to profit the body of Christ. That's why they're there. So I know some people that they'll read a book about the great prayer warrior of the 18th century, George Mueller. And they'll just throw in the towel. I can't pray like George Mueller. Well, God didn't expect you to. That was a gift that God gave to George Mueller. Don't look at George Mueller. Look at Jesus that says, look unto me, come unto me, ask of me. When they went out to gather the manna in the wilderness, some gathered more, some gathered less. Some are great vessels, some are small vessels. God loves them all. So don't let this, don't let that bother you. Just Hebrews 13, real quick. Hebrews 13. Don't make the comparison error. Purpose that you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Savior and not in others. If God does give someone a gift to help you, it was a gift for you. The gift was to bless you, not to intimidate you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. By the way, the rule that they have is the book. This is the rule of the faith. okay, the rule over you, who, again, have spoken unto you the word of God. That's the ruler, and the rule that God uses is the word of God. Notice, whose faith follow. Not them. I don't want to be like them. I want to follow the faith of Jesus Christ that they have. And all they're showing me from the word of God is things about Jesus. Considering the end of their conversation. You know what the end of their conversation is? Verse 8, Jesus Christ. A minister of the word of God is telling you about Jesus. He's not telling you about himself. He's not telling you to look at him. He's telling you to look at Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same. That's going to be what they talk about yesterday, today, and forever. That's what we're going to be talking about forever. A good minister was talking about him yesterday. He'll talk about him today. He'll talk about him in the future. And we all will. So don't make that a comparison error. Purpose, I'm going to learn from those whom God has given me, but I'm going to follow Jesus Christ and I'm going to follow the faith of the Savior. And the last error that sometimes people make, which causes them not to purpose to grow, is the expectation gap. I thought this would be easier. I really expected this would be easier, and I thought it would come quicker. It's taking a while. But it does take a while to learn about your God. It may take us more than the millennium. We may still be learning about Him 10,000 years from now. So growth doesn't come quickly. God likens us to trees. Trees grow slowly. Weeds grow quickly, and who wants weeds? God wants you to grow slowly. Don't let the immediate result expectation gap prevent you from going. Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Even a farmer understands reaping doesn't come overnight. He plants in March and April. He's got to wait till September. He can't expect immediate results. Neither can you. Climbing a mountain is not easy. It takes time. As a matter of fact, I heard someone talking recently about to climb Everest successfully, to go up and down, almost takes 800 hours. That's one mountain. And Mount Everest is an earthly mountain. We're climbing Mount Zion, getting closer to God. And that mountain is bigger than any mountain on planet Earth. So, putting it together. You know, you'll notice this about not all people, but some people. There are people out there that are willing to improve their lot in life. They're willing to improve their position. They're willing to improve their circumstances. They'll go to school. They'll study to get a better job. They'll make applications. They'll even move to another city for all those things, but they're not willing to improve themselves. And then eternally nothing changes. So here's the key. If you want to grow in grace and knowledge, go to Proverbs chapter 20. And you want to be like Daniel, and you want a purpose in your heart that you're going to grow, and you're not going to let these things stumble you along the way. Proverbs chapter 20, the great book of wisdom that God gives. My son, hear my instruction. It says in verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. You need a counselor. You need some wise counsel if you're going to purpose to grow. Now, Paul, when he was getting ready to be offered on the sacrifice of his faith, and Nero was going to have him put to death, he wrote his final letter after many years of serving God. And it was a love letter to Timothy. And we'll be there again next week. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and what he told that young man. If a purpose is going to be established by counsel, and God has been good to give you the book that shows you that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And then God has been so good to give gifts unto men that there will be people that will take the rule and the word of God and show it to you in these ways, like Paul did. And although Paul's not with us physically, his words are with us spiritually on this page. He would be writing to us the same way, and here's what he would say to us, just as he said to Timothy. He said in verse 8, there are men out there like Jannes and Jambres. They withstand Moses, who had God's word. And these people today also resist the truth of the New Testament of Jesus Christ. These men are corrupt. They have corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. They're going to proceed no further. They're not going to grow. They're not going further. They're going in the wrong direction. Their folly shall one day be made manifest to all men, just as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, was. Those are not the people to follow. Here, verse 10 is the one. But thou, Timothy, hast fully known my doctrine, that's Paul, my manner of life, that's Paul, my purpose. Paul purposed that he was going to grow in grace and knowledge his whole life. Every day he moved forward and closer to his Lord. He said, I haven't attained yet, but I'm still pressing toward the mark. Every day I'm attaining. I want to be a partaker of the fellowship of my Lord and his sufferings. My purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience. Look at the words he says, my doctrine. You can close the knowledge gap through learning. My manner of life, you can avoid the timing error by doing it now. Paul didn't wait. He didn't procrastinate. My purpose, never assume that things are going to get better. I have to work through dedication and discipline. My purpose, not comparing to others. I'm just going to follow after what God's given me. My faith, I'm going to walk by a faith that's rooted in my mind and my heart and my will, not my emotions. My charity. Well, charity covers any worries I might have about mistakes and perfectionist errors. I'm not just going to be charitable to others, I'm going to be charitable to me. I expect to make some mistakes. I expect to fall short of perfection, but that's not going to stop me. And my long suffering and patience, that will eliminate the expectation gap. It takes time to get there. And if I can follow those things, I can purpose to grow, and I will grow in the grace and knowledge of the only one it's worth learning about, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. And we all say, amen. So purpose to grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a good message, Lord, that's based on the Scripture that will show us to take the next step of faith and the next step of faith and not to procrastinate and not to put it off, and help us to purpose in our will and in our mind and in our heart. And Lord, I know that you will bring forth the growth, and we will grow a glorious new creature in Christ by thy power and thy Spirit, to which we give you thanks and praise in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 311.